Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you ready to go?
I'm all set.
All right, here we go.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati, you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Norda.
Not one word, B. Not one word.
Nothing.
All right, guys, we're live. Welcome to Ringside Reporter, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. We got a great show for you today, and if you want to call and ask questions, 323-870-3857. Tonight, we're going to talk about Lomachenko and Alexander Usyk. They got title fights coming up. What's going on? Are they staying? Are they going? What are they doing? They're in Ukraine right now. We'll let you know. We'll let you know what's going on. Tank Davis, also in the news. Contract apparently with Mayweather Promotions coming to an end. Will he re-sign? I don't know. We'll let you know. But we're going to get started with ESPN. Miguel Burchelt versus Jeremiah Nakatia. Nakatia smashes Burchelt in 6 rounds. Let me tell you guys what, man. This fight was completely one-sided. He knocked Burchelt down in the third. Burchelt didn't even show up for this fight. He wasn't competitive. He just completely got dominated in every possible way you can get dominated in the fight. This was supposed to be a showcase for Burchelt. That's what made it so bad, that this was supposed to be a showcase. Because he had just gotten knocked out, so he's got, there's a comeback fight for him. Guy lines up really well with him, and he got smashed, man. Burchelt looked bad. He looked really bad. I'm going to tell you right now, Notorious VC was talking about it in the chat. Listen, it's time to hang it up. He ain't coming back, son. And if he does come back, it's going to be the same result. His career is done. He's not the same fighter, man. It just is what it is, man. Sometimes that happens. And he had a long career. He was a veteran when he fought Valdez. I mean, it's not like this isn't, you know. User 2427 said I pronounced Roca's name wrong in the last podcast. All right, well, sorry, man. I do my best, you know. B, what did you think? What do you think about Burchelt going forward? Is this it for him? And what did you think about, again, this was a showcase fight. It's supposed to be a showcase fight for this guy, man.
Usually when a fighter has 2 bad performances, like 2 bad knockouts in a row, that's the beginning of the end. He says he's going to keep going. If he does keep going, he's going to need some severe rebuilding, okay? And it doesn't look bright for him moving forward, because once again, sometimes you have a residual effect of punishment that you've taken over the course of your career. And people can say, oh, well, you know, Valdez was the guy that pushed him off the cliff, so to speak, right? But this was a guy, the writing was on the wall. I mean, he was taking a lot of shots, even in fights that he won. He never had the greatest defense in the world. He was a guy that was very aggressive, came forward, would slug it out in the pocket with guys, and was always fortunate enough to have the heavier hands in those exchanges. And he would take that one or take that two to give one or vice versa, but his one or two was always the harder shot, and it got him through. But against Valdez, that just wasn't the case. So like I said, he was on borrowed time, in my opinion, for the simple fact that, you know, he just was never that guy who was a hit and not get hit type fighter. He was always an aggressive guy who liked to mix it up. And those guys usually have a short shelf life in the sport of boxing. We've seen it several times. The guys who last are the guys who don't get hit a lot, like Mayweather, Hopkins. You know, Canelo looks to be on that same road. Andre Ward, who didn't have a greatly long career, but he had a decent career, and he had a lot of accomplishments. And he was at the top of his game when he retired, for the simple fact that he just didn't take a lot of punches. Burchelt was just not that guy. He was the guy that just took punches. And again, you can chip, like I said before, you can keep chipping away at that rock. At some point, that last chip that hits that rock could crumble the whole thing. And I think it's about time to hang him up, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think so too. It wasn't good. And I mean, McAteer looked so good last night that I can't wait to see this guy again.
I mean,
he looked strong last night. He looked good. Now, again, you know, I think Brichot, I think this is probably, you know, I think it's a swan song. At least I hope they'll put him in. If he does fight again, like I said, it's going to be the same result. I mean, it's just, his reflexes are gone, it looks like.
Yeah.
Did it look like that to you last night? Like, his reflexes were just gone.
Well, Tim Bradley made a great point. He said that he was gun shy, but when you're gun shy, it's like if you're second guessing yourself and you're having to think things through too much when you're in the ring, and you know you're saying to yourself, "Well, I want to do this because if I do that, I'm going to get hit or whatever." I said this several times. No fighter likes to get hit, but if you're overly concerned with it to the point where either you're overly defensive, or you're second-guessing yourself and you're not letting your hands go.
Yeah.
You can't pull the trigger anymore because you're concerned about what's coming back at you, which it seemed was the case last night, then that's the telltale sign that you need to hang them up. De La Hoya, you know, against Pacquiao, couldn't pull the trigger, obviously because Pacquiao's much faster, but he got hit a few times and said to himself, damn, this hurts.
Yeah,
I don't want to throw punches now because I don't want to open myself up to counters, right? And he pretty much kept his hands in his pocket the rest of the fight. He was throwing like one punch at a time, and they were just basically get off me punches. And that happens to a fighter. You know, a fighter just says to himself, I need to fight, but deep down inside, they know they really don't have it anymore. So then they just kind of go through the motions. And I don't think that's going to be the right thing for Brichot to do, to just go through the motions and just fight because he can make a payday. But who knows if he can still make a payday after getting knocked out twice in a row. Who's going to want to pay for him to fight?
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. You know, and, you know, you watch that fight last night. He hit him. Brichot hit him with solid, solid shots. There was a couple times in there where Brichot hit him with some big shots. I thought they were big shots. They looked big to me anyway.
Yeah, he had a big fourth round, but that was about it.
Anywhere. I could see him didn't go anywhere, man.
Yeah.
So
and here's the thing, you know, the reason why he felt he did bad against Valdez was because of he needed to move up in weight. He was weak at 130. Well, once again, you know, when you move up in weight, those guys are bigger. Will you be as strong at that weight, you know?
Well,
you're used to smacking around 130 pounders.
Yeah.
And then you're hitting these 135 pounders. Are they going to go anywhere?
Well, and you can go back to that Valdez fight and watch it. Valdez had him scouted. I mean, they really had that guy scouted pretty well. You know, it was almost like they knew what he was going to do the entire fight. I mean, they seemed like they were a step ahead. So that was tough one. Now, I didn't watch it. You know, it's funny. I watched this on YouTube. I didn't watch it on ESPN. Anything from the commentary last night? Because a lot of times, like, when I watch these fights, I'll watch it with the sound off or something like that and just kind of watch it. You know, it's kind of the best way to, for me anyway, it's the best because I don't hear the nonsense and everything like that. What were the reactions after the fight as far as
Well, Tim Bradley said that he was gun shy, and then he made a great point. He said after my fight with Provodnikov, before Joel Diaz, who was my trainer at the time, let me take that Marquez fight, he put me in the ring in a sparring session with Lucas Matisse, and he said, "You don't prove to me that you still can fight against a guy who can hit. If you don't show me something in this sparring session, we're not taking the Marquez fight because I care so much about you."
Yeah.
And, he obviously, he took the Marquez fight, so he did good in that fight, as he said, you know, as he was talking about the story. But he said, did they do that with Brichot? Did they test him in the gym to make sure he was all the way back, or did they just throw him in there?
They threw him in there.
And that was a good story. You know,
they thought this was a showcase fight. I guarantee that's why he was in there, because they thought it was a showcase. They're not going to showcase Nakatia, you know.
Yeah.
They're not showcasing him.
Yeah. And I thought that was a great story by Bradley, because that's, you know, it's crazy that he left Joel Diaz, because Joel Diaz seemed like the only guy that really cared about him. Outside, probably, obviously, his father was in the corner, too. But outside of his family, who else really cared about him? Like Joel Diaz treated him like a son. Then he goes and starts working with that goofball Teddy Atlas. For what reason?
Well, I think Teddy Atlas, I mean, that was really the best move he could have made. I mean, if you think about it, that was the best move he could have made.
And then, out of the three fights.
You're talking about the best trainer on the planet, son.
Out of the three fights he had with Manny Pacquiao, he did the worst trained under Teddy Atlas.
No. Pac was on steroids. You know that. Isn't that what you guys said all the time? Isn't that what you guys kept saying? Pac is on steroids.
The views of Eric Loder do not represent the views of Beeb Industries and Staff
and Ringside Reporter. The staff here at Ringside Reporter. All right. Let's talk about the zone. Kiko Martinez versus Josh Warrington for the IBF featherweight title. Josh Warrington regains the IBF featherweight title with a seventh round TKO over Kiko Martinez. This was a good fight, man. I'll tell you what, Warrington was winning every round here, right? But he was like, Martinez was definitely in a fight. This was a fight, man. Martinez hit him with some hard shots, broke Warrington's jaw in the seventh round. Unfortunately for Martinez, the ref stopped the fight 30 seconds later. Martinez was at a disadvantage early. He got cut. I believe it was in the first round, right, Beeb, with the headbutt? I think it was
in that first round.
And that blood was coming, and it was an uphill battle for him throughout the fight. For really both fighters, I'll be honest with you. You know, it was funny watching these guys. I mean, they were going at it. I mean, they were both landing hard shots. Warrington was just a little busier, landing a little bit crisper shots. But this fight was, you know, on the scorecards, I had it 7-0 or whatever at the time of the stoppage. It was like, you know, it was wide. But this was like on the scorecards, like when you watch the fight, it was such a good fight, but one guy's clearly winning, but the other guy wasn't out of the fight. You know what I mean?
You're sitting at the edge of your seat saying to yourself, Martinez could turn this around with one big overhand right.
Right.
He landed the overhand right, and he hurt Warrington, and it looked like that was going to turn the fight, but Warrington, to his credit, came right back. And I was shocked to hear at the end of this fight that he had a broken hand and a broken jaw, because it looked like...
Did he have a broken hand, too? I didn't see that. I heard
he
had
a broken
jaw.
Yeah, hand, too.
Wow.
Yeah,
when did he break his hand?
Yeah. I don't know, but he said it in a tweet. He broke his hand and his jaw.
Wow. Now, his jaw, they said it was about 30 seconds before the fight was actually stopped, he said. It was in that flurry where he got, and he was able to stop him like that. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
And Martinez wanted to keep going, man. Martinez was game, man. But I think that was a good stop. I mean, it was a lot of unanswered punches. I think it was good.
Yeah.
But you kind of wonder now, knowing what we know.
Could he have finished that fight?
Yeah, man. That ain't nothing to play around with. That hurts, man.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. And, you know, you think about that. Every time you get hit, he's going to get hit in the face. You know, you get hit in the head. You get hit anywhere. You're going to move, and that's going to hurt. That's a tough thing to fight
and
with.
The more you get in on it, you could damage it more, and then it's going to start swelling.
Oh, man, yeah. Yeah, so he got lucky, man. He really did. I mean, he got lucky with that stoppage in the sense that, like, it's good that he stopped him when he did, so he didn't have to go any further with that fight, man. That was a good one, man. It's weird to see what Martinez did to Galahad, what Galahad did to Warrington, and to see what Warrington did to, you know what I mean? That's just another example of combat math and why it doesn't work, you know? Do you see a rematch with Galahad anytime soon, or no? That fight's just gone.
They're talking about moving Galahad up to 130 now, because they were saying he was having a hard time making the 126.
Yeah.
You know, and again, I know I beat a dead horse when I bring this up all the time, but this is the result of those day-before weigh-ins. It gives fighters that false insecurity that I could stay at a weight class longer than I probably should have, because I can always rehydrate within that 36-hour period, and I'll be fine. And you're not going to be fine, because we've seen it time and time again where fighters think they can get it all back in 36 hours, and they can't. You're going to have that one night where you're just going to hit the wall, And when you hit the wall, you're going to hit it hard, right?
Yeah.
And we saw it. We saw it, right? Kid Galahad looked dry at that weigh-in, right, against Martinez. He looked horrible on the scales. You saw it in the fight, how he faded badly as that fight was going on.
Yeah, he really did. It wasn't good, man. And, I mean, I tell you what, that punch he caught him with laid him out. It just laid him out.
How many fighters now? Teofimo Lopez, Josh Taylor, Burchelt, Kid Galahad. Everyone's, you know, blaming the weight as the reason why they lost it. I'm not here to say it's true or not, but if that's the case, then you have to ask yourself, you don't just wake up and have problems making weight. It's usually it's something that you've had an issue with for you know, a little while, right? You don't just wake up and all of a sudden, hey, I can't make 135 anymore. I can't make 136 anymore. There's probably an issue that these fighters have had, but again, because of that you know, 36 a day before weigh-in, 36 hour rehydration period, they end up staying at the weight longer than they should have. And you have to ask yourself this: what if they were same day weigh-ins? How long would these guys stay at a particular weight? And would these guys even be fighting at weights that they're fighting at? Or would they be fighting at higher weight class?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, they're only at that weight for a couple of minutes. Yeah, I mean, really, and realistically, they're only at that weight for a couple of minutes. And then as soon as they get off their scale, the weight's gone. You know, I mean, they're going to they rehydrate, and all of a sudden they're up 3 or 4 pounds at that point, probably, you know.
I think they should go back to the same day weigh-ins.
I do, too. I think it's safer. I think it's much safer.
I think it's safer.
You know, or what about, you know, the WBC, that rule they have, that little weigh-in rule that they have, you know, but again, it has to be enforced, and then everybody has to have buy-in to it. I don't mind that, where it has like 10% of the weight, X amount of days out. I get that. It's hard to enforce,
but
I understand what they're doing, coming from, you know, but...
You know what these guys are doing? I don't want to throw anyone under the bus, but a trainer told me that they're hooking these guys up to IVs and stuff to make sure they get rehydrated. And it's like,
yeah, I think that's a common practice, actually. Yeah, I think that really is a common practice.
And that's crazy. That's crazy to me.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing. Like, or maybe it was the IBF. I don't know. One of them had
WBC
that had that 10% weigh-in rule or whatever.
The WBC, what they'll do is they'll weigh you 30 days out. Then they'll, I think.
It has to be, you have to be in a certain range.
Yeah, the IBF will weigh you the day after, and you can't put on more than 10 pounds or something like that. So if you're fighting at 160, the morning of the fight, you have to weigh 170. But once again, after that weigh-in, you could still rehydrate more. So what difference does it make?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So what are you really doing? Soon as the guy will come in and away at 170, the morning of the fight at 9 o'clock, then they'll just hook him up to a fucking an IV. Mm-hmm. So what difference does it make? What are you really doing here?
Shoeshine Boxing says, don't they do that in Vegas for wealthy partiers? Probably. Have you seen this lately? So they actually have like IV places that are not your doctor's office, okay, but just like these little health and wellness places, you know, that pop up or whatever. Like IV, they sell like IVs there where you go and you get an IV for, you know, X amount of dollars or whatever that has like all these vitamins in it or whatever. They have some for like hangovers. They have some to make you feel better or to, you know what I mean? And you go there for an hour and get an IV and come out apparently refreshed. Look it up. Okay, so look it up.
I believe you. I've never heard of it.
It's crazy. They got
I definitely
here.
Believe you.
Yeah, they got them here. They got them everywhere. It's weird, though. Yeah. Like, I would never like voluntarily go and get an IV. I don't know. I mean,
it seems crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, like, I would never like, I would.
Just going to pump stuff in your body without knowing if you need it or not, or you just think you need it.
Yeah, they don't give you, I would imagine they don't give you a blood test or anything. They just say, well, I guess it can't hurt you. I guess the vitamins or whatever can't hurt you. Cause it's just, what is it? What you got? Saline, like the water saline, and then you got the vitamins in it or whatever. So I imagine it's probably not going to hurt you. It's probably, you know, but
I don't know.
Yeah, I would, you know.
Who knows? They could stick it. If they're not doctors or nurses, they could fucking poke you in your van or something. Who knows what the fuck they're gonna do? I mean, they're not. I don't like anyone sticking the needle in me that's not a doctor or a nurse.
Yeah, I think you gotta have a medical, and I'm sure they're medical people. I'm sure they're like nurses. I'm sure they're like nurses, so they're, you know, in the sense that they're trained to give you an IV or whatever. It's not like just some dude off the street.
All right.
But yeah, it's just never really dawned on me to just say, I think I need an IV today, you know, and then just go up there and get one, you know. The kid's back said B12 shot two. He said the B12 shot two. And I imagine they do the same thing with the B12 shots there.
Yeah, I think Kevin Hart gets B12 shots, he said.
What is that for? I don't understand. Like
energy. He gets for energy.
Oh, really? It's supposed to boost you up? For how long, though? Like, how long does that boost you up?
I don't know.
Like a couple of hours, a day?
I guess a couple of hours or whatever. Some people who are a lot of people have problems with B12 deficiency. Like vegans, for instance, they don't eat meat, they don't eat red meat, and they don't eat eggs and stuff like that. That's where you get the little high sources of B12. So
crazy.
Sometimes, people get B12. Yeah. My sister used to have to get B12 shots because she was anemic, yeah.
Right, but she has to get them. She has to. I mean, that's if she's anemic, she has to get those. I get that. But, like, just say, you know, I'm waking up and, man, I just can't get moving today. I think I'm going to get a B12 shot. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's got
gives you a jolt. Gives you a little bit of a jolt.
Then you just take that pre-workout. You know that pre-workout I was telling you about?
Call me 3 o'clock in the morning one day. Pete, how come I can't fall asleep?
I said, dude, I can't sleep.
What time did you take that pre-work? Oh, right before dinner. What did you think? You took it before dinner.
Did you ever have this problem, you know?
No, I don't have this problem because I take my stimulants at freaking 7 in the morning.
Who takes them that early? Silly. I mean, come on. Live a little, you know? Don't be silly. I mean, taking it at... Who takes it in the morning? Come on.
That shit lasts me like... That stuff stays in my system for like 6 to 8 hours, bro.
Does it?
The older you get,
you work out though.
I
can take mine at like maybe 3 or 4 in the afternoon.
I work out at 11 in the like usually about 11 o'clock, 11 o'clock in the morning. So if I take it at 7, it's still in there.
Yeah, like I used to take mine like a half hour before I'm ready to work out. And then I work out and then it's pretty much gone. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not really hyped up anymore. You're just kind of, there. All right. Let's talk about the undercard here. Let's see. Kiko Martinez and Josh Warrington on the undercard here. Not too much.
What about Ebony Bridges?
What about her? Ebony Bridges versus Maria Cecilia Roman for the Brazzers Championship.
Whoa!
Ebony Bridges wins whatever title these two were fighting for. Listen, I didn't waste my time watching this nonsense, but from everything I read, it was pretty much a low-level titles fight. Shocking. Let's talk about that weigh-in, though, Beeb. Let's talk about that weigh-in. I watched that a couple of times. You see she was in a thong and everything, boy. She was...
I have to say, because I've been very critical of Ebony Bridges, you know, over her career, and I did see some improvements.
Notorious VC in all caps. Ebony Bridges is a champion. She's my champion. Tell us she's the champion, baby.
She's the IBF bantamweight champion. You can never take that away from her.
Yeah, who did she fight for that? What powerhouse?
Roman was the longest reigning bantamweight champion.
Is she a title holder, Beeb?
She was a legit champion.
Is she a champion or is she a title holder?
She's a legit champion.
She's a legit champion. She's the woman. She's the one in that weight class.
She was the longest reigning champion in that weight class. Gotta give her credit, man. Gotta give credit where credit is due. She was actually turning her shots over.
Listen, nobody cares about the fight. Listen, nobody cares about that fight, all right?
Whoa!
Let's talk about that weigh-in for a minute now.
Not shared by Beeb Industries and the staff here at Ringside.
Let's talk about that weigh-in. She can make a lot more. Am I wrong here? She can make a lot more money doing, you know, other things.
Please. Please.
She's a math teacher. You know that she's a math teacher? I love math teachers.
She is a math teacher. That's right.
Math teacher is my favorite.
She used to do like she's a like a bodybuilder. She's I think she used to compete like in fit, bodybuilding shows too. She
really? She doesn't look like a bodybuilder. Me, she looks fit. She looks
like
really.
She's like a fitness model. I think she's like a fitness model.
Yeah.
She used to do like the figure competitions.
Yeah. I'd give her some money. You know what I'm saying? Messed up, man.
She's a world champion, man. Now when you talk about her right now,
so does that mean her prices go up?
You have the views of Eric Loda are not shared.
I'm saying,
by Beeb Industries or the staff at Ringside Reporter. So when you talk about her right now, from now on, you have to call her the IBF Women's Bantamweight Title Holder.
Brazzle's Tiger Champion. Right?
Not Brazzle.
It's not Brazzers. Would you pay to see her on Brazzers?
I'll be honest with you. I'm not going to say she's a bad-looking woman. She's just really not my type, to be honest with you. I don't.
Why does she not have a penis? I mean, what do you mean she's not your type?
Whoa! Whoa! No, you know who I think is prettier than her? Actually, Shannon Courtney, I think, is prettier than her.
I don't remember her.
That was the girl that beat her the first title that she fought.
Tail just tweeted, I hope Lisa's listening. That's what I hope not.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna say she's not a good looking woman. I'm just not for some reason I'm just not attracted to her. She doesn't do it for me. Just being honest.
Yeah, you need to get something checked out, son. You need to get some more testosterone in your body or something. Oh.
Whoa! Wake up! When I wake up every morning, it's at attention. Don't worry about me. Eight issues.
At attention.
Eight ball in the corner pocket for the B. We don't have any problems there. Don't worry about that. I think my name is Rob Herrick.
Oh, that's messed up, man. Robbie's on the line. I wonder if what he thinks of Ebony Bridges.
Yeah, let's see what he has to say.
Can we go to him? Let's go to him. I mean, maybe, you know. I know I don't think he wants to come online today, but you know what? Sometimes, you know, it just is. Robert, can you hear me?
Yeah, hello, guys.
All right. Hey, so what do you think of Ebony Bridges, man?
I know. I'm sorry she's got a title, to be honest. I really don't care for her fighting style, man. When I first saw her fight, I thought it was a publicity stunt by DAZN and Eddie Hearn. Now she's got a legitimate title. I don't know. I don't think.
But you didn't
think
she looked. You didn't see any improvements yesterday at all from her.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I didn't even know this weekend that she was a fighter. I didn't even know until this weekend.
Joe, she has shown improvements. I will give her that. I don't think this is going to be sustainable. Because if she gets in there with any higher skilled individuals, I don't know if she's got the capability of beating anybody.
She may not be a long reigning champion.
Exactly.
Let me ask you another question.
All right.
Let me ask you another question. I just want to switch gears a little bit here.
Okay.
Now, you said that the price of DAZN went up, which you were correct.
Yeah.
But if you pay for the year, it's still only $99.
That's what I'm going to do. Yeah.
I paid for the year yesterday, and it only cost me $99. But listen to this though, Robbie. If you pay $19.99, that's like $239 a year.
Okay.
Who would pay that I guess that's for people who just want to buy it for a month here and there.
Right.
Why not just pay the $99? I mean,
if you're a casual guy, and you don't watch a lot of fights, I mean, I could definitely see that.
But there's going to at least be, would you say, at least four big fights a year that you'll probably want to watch on that? Canelo fights twice a year. AJ fights twice a year, right?
Yeah.
That's four fights. So 19 times four, what's that? $76.
Yep.
Why not just pay the $99 and you get it? I don't know.
Now we did you guys did a show a few weeks ago about the price possibly going up to $149. Where did that figure come from?
Yeah, I haven't heard that. I heard that from you, but I thought you were lying to me.
Yeah, you know you can't trust us on stuff like that, Robert. You know that.
But
You were the one that said it was going up $129 a year, and then you were like, "Is Eric going to pay that?"
That's the price that was listed on their website, so I'm glad to hear it's only $99. That makes me feel better.
It wasn't listed on their website. I went on there the other day. It's $99 for the year.
Okay. Well, at the time we did the show a few weeks ago, maybe they updated their site, and that makes me happy. I'm glad to be wrong about that.
You're starting to act like Mike Coffinger now with this fake news.
No, hell no! Don't put me in with him. I don't trust anything that man says.
Let me find out you and him. Let me find out you and him hang out. You talk on the phone because that's all I need to know.
Give me a break. I don't trust anything that man says.
Did you see what Usyk's manager? Usyk's manager, Igis Klimas, reamed him out the other day.
Yeah, you know what, though? Yeah. I'm going to tell you this, and this is going to be very unpopular. This is going to be very unpopular, but I'm going to say it. Mike Coppinger is right a lot more than he's wrong. He is right a lot more.
I think he's 50-50.
No. He's right on a lot of stuff.
If you were as wrong as him at your job, would you still be working?
Probably, yeah. I mean,
Eric, I'm not going to argue with you, but I've noticed a lot of times when we've talked about articles of his, later on we got to come out with corrections. So why is he right more than he's wrong?
He is. Look at his track record, man. I'm telling you. I'm going to give you another example of why he was right later on in the show, but yeah, he's right more than he's wrong, guys.
I think he's batting 500.
And you know what? I think I might take him on as a friend of mine. How about that?
You have my condolences.
All right, Robert, we're going to let you get back to it.
All right.
All right, man.
How you feeling, Robbie?
He's on hold now. No, he didn't even want to come on. I know Robert didn't even want to come on, but I had to get his reaction.
Right,
on Ebony
Bridges. He's sick of you giving him a hard time every week. I wouldn't want to come on.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
All you do is give him a hard time.
I'm the one that calls him a weasel, you know. I call him a weasel and all that other stuff.
You put me up to it. You're the one that tells me to do it before the show.
I text you, hey, make sure you tell Robert this, you know.
You say his name is not Robbie. It's really Weasel. That's what you told him.
Oh, stop it, dude. Nobody's buying that.
You know who I wasn't impressed with yesterday for a female fighter? That girl, Sky Nicholson.
Is she pretty hot? Somebody in the chat says she's really hot.
She's
yeah.
very attractive. She's very pretty.
Right. What if those two fought each other? You know, like her.
I wasn't too impressed with her. I just didn't think she was that. She didn't have that much snap to her shot. She threw a lot of arm punches. I wasn't impressed with her at all.
The kid's back says you could take Sky Nicholson to meet the parents. You couldn't take Ebony Bridges, though.
Yeah.
Would you let Ebony Bridges meet your parents?
Yeah, I mean, I brought home worse. Who am I? I'm no fry. I mean, look at me. I'm a couple sandwiches short of a picnic. Who am I to judge?
I'd bring her home. I'd bring them both home. Same time. All right. Let's talk about Showtime. Tim Zhu versus Taroga Shane Beebe. This is the first time he's been on U.S. soil, huh?
Yeah.
Tim Zhu wins a unanimous decision over Terrell Gachet by the scores of, get this, 114-113, 116-111, and 115-112.
You kidding me?
I couldn't believe it when I heard these scores because I'll tell you right now, I had Gachet winning about one round in that fight.
Yeah,
I only gave him
the first round.
I had it like 118 because, I mean, you know,
you could have given
him that first round.
Maybe two at the most. Like,
maybe.
Shout out to Ring IQ. You know what Ring IQ said? He goes, they're not gonna do Tim Zhu any favors. I mean, he's on a PBC show against a PBC fighter.
Yeah.
You know, he was anticipating some effery with the scorecards, and he was right. 114 and 113. What?
I don't know what you were watching. Yeah.
So you had that 7-5. That fight was you gave Gaethje 5 rounds in that fight.
4 rounds, I would imagine, with the knockdown. No, or I guess
4 rounds with the knockdown.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Is that what it is? 4 rounds with the knockdown.
I think.
No, one because one.
Well, 115 would agree. Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe five
rounds.
Yeah,
you gave him five.
Yeah,
rounds.
He would have to be 5 rounds in. So what 5 rounds did you give him?
How do you give him 5 rounds?
Right. What
at
five
the
rounds
most,
did you give him? Yeah.
At the most, 2. At the most,
at
being
the,
generous.
That's at the very most, and the first round has to go to him. Every subsequent round, I don't know how you.
What are the other judges have it? 116
to 116 to 111. So that's 8-4. And then 115, 112, and then 114, 113.
No, that's 9. That's actually 9-3. Yes, 116 and 111. So they had it 9-3. So they gave him 3 rounds. Because it's 3 rounds. But you have to get
116 and 112 is 8 rounds to 4.
116 and 112, and they had it 116 and 111. Yeah, I'm sorry, you're correct. 8-4. They added 8-4.
Yeah, I wondered. Did they give him a 2-point round somewhere along the lines? How did he get 111 off that?
So it would have been. It would have been 117 and 111.
So it was 9-3. You're right. You're correct.
9-3. It's 9-3. So they had it 9-3, and their own judge had it 7-5.
9-3, I can see.
I can live with. But
yeah, 7-5 and
7-5 is
no,
ridiculous.
No way, man.
7-5 is ridiculous. So 9-3, 7-5. I don't.
You know, Gaethje, I tell you, he landed that shot in the first round. It would look like I think it was a right hand that caught him. And, you know, to me, I'll be honest with you, man, that looked a little bit more, that did not look like a flash knockdown to me. They kept saying it was a flash knockdown. He looked hurt. He looked like he was at least wobbled by that shot. Prior to that shot, he looked like he got wobbled again, okay? So there was a time right maybe 30 seconds before that where he hit him, and it looked like his feet went. You know, I mean, you could tell
he
his
buckled,
feet.
He buckled towards the end of the round.
And
I thought,
yeah, when he got that knockdown or whatever, I thought, man, he is hurt. He was able to survive the rest of the round. Second round, he came back a little bit better. I guess you can make a case for Gaethje getting that round. Every round after that, though, looked the same to me. It was a lot of pressure.
Saying, maybe
on
the
dude.
maybe the first two rounds, but even the second round, I thought he still came back in that round. But maybe you could have given it to him. I don't know. But, I don't know, I guess 9-3 is not bad. But, what, 7-5 or something? 7-5 is great.
Oh, KRL, Harrison stops Tim Tszyu. How about Tony Harrison in Tim Tszyu?
I think that's
a good fight, right?
I would favor Tszyu. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good fight, man. That's a good fight.
Yeah.
I thought Tszyu looked really good. There's a lot of, you know, he's got some holes in his defense, but he fights that pressure style. Throws a lot of punches. I thought he looked really good, man. I thought he looked really solid, man.
I will say this. Sometimes he squares up a little bit, but he's really good at picking shots off with his gloves.
Yeah, he really is.
You
but he
I mean?
Does, I mean, he does have some holes in that defense, though.
Yeah, I mean, he can sharpen up a little bit. But again, one thing I do like about him was he made the adjustments and he started catching the right hand. You know, he started blocking it and started putting his hands up. And he was catching, he's blocking a shot. He was catching and shooting. Pretty good counterpuncher. He goes to the body. I think he's a pretty solid fighter. I mean, full disclosure, that was the first time I ever saw him fight live. I saw clips of him before, but this is the first time I ever seen him fight live from start to finish in a fight.
Yeah.
And I think he's a good fighter. I think he's a really good fighter. I think he's a solid puncher. I think he's got great punch variation. I like how he goes to the body. I don't like how he squares up. That's one of the negatives. When he gets in the pocket, he tends to square himself up. I think he needs to stop doing that. Maybe he can bend his knees a little bit, kind of make him, you know, change levels a little bit when he's up close. But I just see minor things that need work. I mean, he puts his shots together well. He's got a good jab. His defense could get better, but it's not horrible.
Right.
You know, but I think, you know, as he continues to fight, I think he can just tweak a few things. I think he's going to be a tough out for just about anyone in that division.
Yeah, that's not an easy fight for anybody. And, I mean, he's capable of beating anybody in that division, I think.
Yeah, he's a big, strong guy.
He's got power. He's got power.
Decent hand speed.
And if you fight him in Australia, I mean, that thing just goes up.
So,
you know.
Do you think he'll fight Harrison next? Because Harrison just had a tough fight a couple fights ago, I think, with Brian Perella. I thought Perella beat Harrison. I didn't think he looked great in that fight.
I don't know. I don't know if that fight happens or not, but I like that fight. I think that's a really good fight. That's a fight that I would pick for him next because I think Harrison's a real tricky type of fighter.
Yeah.
But I think Harrison is on the dark side of his career, too.
Sure.
So it's a good fight. I think it'll take – he's going to go rounds with him. He's going to go to – I mean, that's going to go – that's a distance type of fight. Harrison's got really good defense, but Harrison's also – you know, he can also hit, you know, and he could take advantage of some of those flaws.
Well, here's the thing, too, though. He's ranked number one by the WBO. So he could very well get the winner of Charlo versus Castano. Is he ready for that fight, in your opinion?
He thinks he's ready. He actually called out Charlo. He called out Charlo and said he would replace Castano. You
yeah,
know?
I
can
remember that.
I mean, so he's ready to move up. Now, I would like to see him fight a guy like Harrison.
Okay.
A few more big-name opponents, you know, bigger-name guys. And guys like Harrison, because you're going to see all different styles, you know what I mean? And that's the guy, if you really want to test and see where you're at as a fighter, if you're an up-and-coming prospect, that's the guy I would choose.
Yeah.
And say, let's see.
Another crafty guy.
Real crafty. Real crafty guy. Terrell Cachet, man, he's a former Olympian. Former Olympian, man. And the way, I mean, I just thought Zou took him apart in this fight, man.
Yeah.
He really did.
And again, you know, he had that to come back after that shaky start. That shows a lot of resolve.
Well, you know, we talked about, I think we talked about it earlier today, about the pre-fight jitters in the U.S., you know what I mean? I mean, if he's coming here, you're fighting in front of this crowd, and you know, it's a real thing. But, you know, sometimes people are able to get past that. I mean, he got caught. You know what it reminded me of? A lot of, remember, was it Carl Frampton when he came to the U.S. for the first time and he fought Cobrita Gonzalez, I guess it was.
Yeah.
And
got knocked
out. I mean, that was a good fight. Carl, you know, ultimately won that fight, but it wasn't easy.
That's a very good comparison. Oh my God. It's almost like deja vu, basically.
Yeah.
Very similar circumstances. I agree.
M-Easy Box says Erickson Lubin is a good fight for Zou. That's a good fight too. There's so many. I mean, That could be the next two fights for him. And ironically enough, I think he blows right past Lubin because Lubin's a boxer. He punches. He likes to open up, and I think Zou can take advantage of that. I think Zou can get him out of there. But the Harrison fight is the one that really intrigues me more so than the other one. I like them both. Don't get me wrong, but.
And the thing is, both those guys, they're decent punchers, but they're not as big a punchers as Zou. They're not even as big as punchers as Jermall Charlo.
No.
You know, they're crafty guys, but they're guys that you have the strength and power edge over, you know, so it'll just be a matter of being able to catch up with either guy, right?
Team Batman, that's a really good observation here. He said, Tim really does remind me of a mix between Kostya Zou, his dad, and a less polished Triple G. He does, because he puts that kind of pressure on him. And I think that, he does. He fights a lot like his dad.
Well, the thing
and
about...
And he's got that power like his dad.
The thing that reminds me about his dad is his dad was really good at throwing short, straight, deliberate, accurate, pinpoint punches.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this guy, Zou, even when he throws hooks and stuff, everything is kind of, like, tight. You know what I mean? He's not... Mm-hmm. Doesn't loop things. He's just... He knows how to just thread the needle. The shortest distance between two points is a straight line, and he's mastered that. You know, he's mastered that. And, you know, you saw how when Gachet was covering up and he would just, you know, find ways to open him up you know, touch him, move him, mm-hmm. You know, get him to move his hands around, and he create the openings for himself.
Kishane's another crafty fighter. I mean,
yeah.
This guy is no slouch. I mean, again, former Olympian right here. I mean,
yeah. I thought Kishane held his own in most of his fights, even in losing.
Yeah, I think so too. I was surprised the fight didn't get stopped at some point. I mean, he was taking a lot of punches, man.
There were times when he'd be on the ropes and he'd just be getting pummeled and he wasn't really punching back. But, you know, he was able to, you know, keep going on, I guess.
Yeah, he was able to weather it, man. And good for him.
Different referee may have stopped the fight.
That's very true. That's very true.
You never know.
All right, let's talk about the upcoming fights here. That was pretty much it for the week, this weekend anyway. Upcoming here, not much. I got to be honest with you. The big one is going to be the week after on April 9th weekend. You have the Triple G Morata fight. Ryan Garcia comes back for that one. And then you got Erickson Lubin fighting Fundora on Showtime. So April 9th is a big weekend. Next week, April 2nd, that's it. That's the only fight we have on the broadcast here. Let's see. Savannah Marshall from Newcastle, England. Savannah Marshall versus Femke Hermans. 10 rounds for Marshall's WBO women's middleweight title. Florian Marcoux versus – who's putting this on? Who is that? Is that another like ESPN type of card?
I'm not sure.
I don't know. That's terrible, son. That's awful. Little Penny says Lubin and Fundora is a sick fight. Yeah, I agree. I think that's a really good fight. Let's see here. What do you think of that Ryan Garcia fight, the Emmanuel Tago and Ryan Garcia?
Yeah, I mean. It seems like kind of the right fight at the right time for him, you know, to go. It's not really that.
Tiger, it should be a showcase for him. It should be a showcase for him.
I don't think Tago has anything that can really trouble Garcia, to be honest with you.
But Garcia's had a lot of problems as of late. A lot of dealing with depression, dealing with, you know, a lot of stuff, man. And I tell you what, when you have the depression, that weighs heavy. That's a heavy weight, you know, and unless you ever had depression or you know, like I said, I can't really fully understand it, you know,
tough, man.
But
it's tough.
It's a tough, tough thing, man. It really is.
But as I've said before, you know, working out, doing things that you love to do, that's your therapy.
For some people, you know, it just depends. It just depends, you know. April 9th, also, too, hey, speak of the devil, Tony Harrison fighting on April 9th, Sergio Garcia. So that should be a good one. That'll see what Harrison has. That's on the Lubin Fundora undercard here. April's a big month, just not next weekend, man. What's after that? Yeah, and after that, of course, after the April 9th, and you have the April 16th, Errol Spence, Yordanis Ugas. Let's see what else is after that, 19th.
So I guess that Murata-Golovkin fight is going to be on like at 8 a.m.
Is it really? Oh, wow.
Yeah, because it's in Japan.
Yeah, whatever, dude.
Then the Garcia fight's going to be later in the evening at like 8
a.m.
The other card starts 12 hours later.
Yeah, but you know what? I bet that card starts at 8 a.m. Because aren't they 12 hours ahead?
Well, let's look at the DAZN schedule here. Oh, my God. The card is going to start at 5 a.m. in the morning.
Oh, so they're actually fighting at 8 a.m. then.
Yeah, that's their time because they're 12 hours, I think, before us.
No, I'm good.
So that's 5 a.m. And then the Garcia to go fight, that card starts at 9 p.m.
I'm such an idiot. Like, I won't stay up for that fight, which is a legitimate fight. And I stayed up for the Mayweather and what's that kid's name? Tension. Yeah, Nakatani or whatever.
We actually went live for that.
We went live. I'm such an idiot, too, because, like, they said it was going to be at, like, 2 in the morning. You know, like it was going to be 2 in the morning or something like that. I stayed up. I've got my alarm because I'm so tired. I've got my alarm set for, like, every 15 minutes so I don't miss anything. They didn't fight till like, 5 in the morning. You know, I mean, the actual pay-per-view that they were on had to go, like, and just take a hiatus. They just, like, left the broadcast. You know what I mean? And when they finally came on at, like, 5 in the morning, it was just, like, insane.
Yeah, you're out of control.
Team Batman says Triple G will destroy Murata. I don't know, man.
I don't think so.
I don't know, man. That's not an easy fight, I'll tell you that. And especially, I'll be honest, man, Philly Drew's picking Murata. I think I'm going to pick Murata, too.
I'm picking Murata.
That ain't no gimme, man, especially the way Triple G has looked as of late. It's not like he's actually setting the world on fire anymore.
And you know what's – you know, I shouldn't say this, but I'm actually rooting for Murata to win.
That's our SBCC, the words Mayweather or Paul Eric is in line. I know, I'm such a sucker. I won't watch Ebony Bridges fight, but I watch those two morons fight, you know.
You know what, Ebony Bridges is like, she at the end of the fight, she goes, "Can I fucking fight? I told y'all I could fucking fight." Like, she's really being a goofball.
A moron. You know, and she goes out with the thong at the weigh-in and all that other stuff. Like, come on, man. You want to know why people don't take you seriously? That's why. Katie Taylor, take her seriously. Amanda Serrano, take her seriously. You know, that's why, because that's your gimmick. That's your gimmick is looking hot. And when people point that out, you can't get mad. Because you come out there in a thong and sunglasses and give sunglasses to Eddie Hearn saying, "Hey, don't look at me."
Little Penny's from New Zealand. Let me ask you, Little Penny, because New Zealand and Australia are close together, right? You pretty much are in tune with the Aussie scene. What do the Australian people think of Ebony Bridges? Is she popular over there? Do they get behind her? I know that people in the UK love her. Like they've adopted her and they were cheering for her. They got behind her a lot. I just wonder, you know, how she's looked at in Australia at home by the hometown people over there.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see. She's not popular. Yeah.
Okay. So she's not like the Zoo family over there. She's not looked at. Even Jeff Horn was popular over there.
Yeah, Ebony Bridges is more popular in England than Australia.
Wow, very interesting.
Yeah. You know, see her fighting in Melbourne, you know. There you go. All right, speaking of Melbourne, speaking of Australia, no, I'm not talking about Bridges, man. I'm talking about the real fighters here. Devin Haney and George Kambosos is set. He signed. Devin Haney finally signed at the Zero Hour. The fight will be June 5th in Melbourne, Australia. This is from my man, Mike Coppinger. That's right, Beeb. He's right again. Hey, Beeb, your man's right again. Again, son. Hey, Beeb, he's right again.
Well, let me ask you a question. If you're taking a multiple choice test, right?
Yes.
And you're already told A, B, and C are wrong. Of course, you're going to answer D at the end, right? Because you already were told A, B, and C were wrong, right?
I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know. All right. So this is from ESPN. As part of Haney's agreement with Lou DiBella, Kambosos promoter, and Bob Arum Top Rank, which has an exclusive content agreement with ESPN. Haney has agreed to an immediate rematch clause that would obligate him to box Kambosos again in Australia if Haney wins our upcoming bout and remains lightweight. If Haney were to defeat Kambosos in back-to-back bouts, the 23-year-old of Las Vegas resident would then face Vasily Lomachenko in what would be an ESPN pay-per-view event. So it sounds like a 2 or 3-fight deal that he might have signed there.
I'm not saying the fight is not going to happen. Don't get me wrong. But I did hear an interview yesterday from Eddie Hearn, and he was asked about this fight. And he said that they did give us an offer, and we have to look it over. So I don't – again, just like with Canelo, I don't know if the fight is actually set. I know that they have the offer, according to Eddie Hearn. That's all I know.
Who, Devin Haney? Yeah, Devin Haney said – from what he said, it says they've signed it.
Eddie Hearn said that they haven't. In an interview that I saw yesterday on YouTube. So
this is as of today at 2 p.m. though. This is when the actual story came out.
All right. Okay.
So I don't know. I mean, so if it was yesterday, it was yesterday. But
I don't know who signs a contract on a Sunday, but I'm just saying I don't
well,
know.
Well, people like myself and Cobb, we work on Sunday. I don't know, Bowie. I don't know what you do. I mean, you probably.
I'm not saying
football,
that Cobb is wrong. I'm just saying Eddie Hearn said something yesterday that was very contradictory.
Cobb is wrong. That's like an oxymoron, dude. That didn't even make any sense. What's the matter with you?
Oh, why don't you and Cobb get a room?
They're all sold out. All right, so they, you know, so I guess it's a three-fight deal. It sounds like a three-fight deal to me, but...
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
This is Cobb. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, man. But I'm glad Haney signed this because there was talk that Haney this week was not going to sign it. What are you smiling at? What's the matter with you?
I don't know if he signed it yet. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, stop. Come on. Why would Coppinger report it? You're just hating on Cop for no reason now.
Well, didn't he report that the Lomachenko fight was done?
Yeah, before the war happened. A war broke out. What do you want him to do? That's like an act of God or something like that. I mean, you can't help that.
Again,
like
he knew
Putin was going to go in there.
Well, if Lomachenko signed a contract, how could he go to Ukraine?
What do you mean, how could he go to Ukraine? He lives in – come on, man. Even if he did sign a contract, come on. Can't hold him liable for that. What's the matter with you? My own. You don't think Devin Haney signed that contract? You calling Cop a liar, huh? That's what you're doing now, huh? That's how we're living?
I've heard Canelo Alvarez call Cop a liar. when he told Canelo Alvarez he was fighting Charlo.
King K.O. said we got to pump the brakes on the Coppinger reports.
Please. When you got fighters and managers and promoters telling you you're lying.
I'm going to bust you right now, all right? Igas Klimas. All right, okay, so another Cop thing here. All right, so Usyk has left the Ukraine to train for Joshua. You know who reported that? Cop. Coppinger reported that, right? Igas Klimas came out and says, leave my fighters alone. I don't want to, you know, you just blah, blah, blah. 2 days after that, guess who's coming back to train? He's right more than he's wrong, man. He just is.
No, he's 50-50. And that's not good if you're
I think he's at least 60-40. I mean, I think he's at least 60-40.
Even that's not good.
Well, it's good if you're gambling. That's great if you're gambling. I mean, if you're gambling and you're 60-40, you're hitting it, man.
Eric.
Yes.
I'll give you this one. I can't. You're wearing me out now.
Hey,
you beat me into submission here with this conference.
That's how I win arguments, baby. So Usyk has left Ukraine to train for Joshua. They gave him, I guess they gave him permission to leave or whatever. And it makes sense, man. I mean, it makes sense. I'd rather see Usyk. I'd rather see Usyk on this side versus, in a war, man. I really would.
Yeah, D-Style said something. He goes, you could do more in inspiring your country through
very
your
much.
Boxing.
Very
do,
much.
Do you agree with that? I do.
Absolutely. No, very well said. Yeah, for sure. You're bringing more. You can bring more awareness to it. You can bring. You know what I mean? It's just better. You know. So Lomachenko was going to fight Kambosos, had the fight done. All right? Not according to Cobb, according to some other schleps out there, had the fight done. However, he's staying in the Ukraine, Beeb. This guy would rather have bullets coming at his head than fist. Okay? He would rather have bullets coming at him. It's insane to me how brave this guy is.
Have you seen the pictures of that country right now?
It's like rubble.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, like Mariupol and stuff like that. It's like completely rubble. 80%. They said 80% of Mariupol or whatever, 85% is just done. Yeah, I don't know. Little Penny says Loma is nowhere near the trenches. Listen, I don't know that. How do you know that? It's not like they give his location. How do you know that? You don't know, man. Listen, you're in the Army, you're in the Army. You got a shot of getting shot, you know, and you're in the middle of a war. Listen, you can get shelled at any minute.
No position to pinpoint Loma's whereabouts.
Right. How do you know where he is?
In fairness to Little Penny, in fairness to Little Penny, I do suspect he's not in the trenches. But I can't say that with 100% certainty. But I do believe he's probably not in the trenches.
I don't know where he is, but listen, man, I don't doubt that he's seeing some action over there. That's for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, where are they going to keep him safe in that country? I mean, think about it. Like, he's nowhere near the trenches. Great. Where are you going to keep him safe?
I'm seeing Vitaly Klitschko walking around in Kiev, and I'm hearing fucking explosions going off in the background. So I don't know. I don't know where you can hide that country at this point.
You're right. I mean, there's nowhere, you know, what do you hide behind some rubble? I mean, seriously, you know, you're out there. I mean, if you're in the army and you're fighting over there, you're in harm's way. There is nowhere that, you know, that they're going to put you that, you know, you don't have. What do you think of that, though? What do you think of, like, Loma staying? I mean, that's just crazy to me. I mean,
yeah,
like,
I have to.
Wow.
That shows some strong conviction there.
How many average people would do that? Think about that for a minute. How many average people would do that?
Listen.
When you can make millions here, or you can just stay here for free and get shot,
you have a chance to get shot.
It's a big
deal. When I signed up for the military, I signed up. I went in just after Desert Storm.
Yeah.
And I was crossing my fingers saying, please don't send me to Iraq. And they sent me to Germany.
That's cool. I heard Germany's a nice place.
Nice, yeah.
I heard Germany's really nice, man.
Germany's fun. Nice women. Nice honey dips over there.
Did you pay for them?
Over there, you don't have to pay for anything. Come on. You got the uniform. All you need is the uniform. Bieber's in his prime back then.
Hey, he was in his prime.
In his prime. A 22-year-old B. Just picture it. Just picture that. They were paying me.
They were paying you. MEZ Box, thank you so much, man. He said, salute, Ringside Reporter. Did you hear Teal's thoughts on Haney Cambosos? He said, I used to like that kid. Him and his pops are lost. I did not hear that. I did.
Want to hear it?
Yes. Did you? Yeah.
So what he was saying was, yeah, of course he's going to get the fight. That's why they did me dirty. They wanted him to get the fight. That was the setup. They set me up so he can get the fight with Cambosos. So he still thinks that he won that Cambosos fight.
They set who up?
Tio said they set him up because it was a DAZN thing, because it was all about you know, getting Haney the shot, because Haney's the DAZN fighter and he's not. So this was he said basically they set him up. That was the whole thing.
Yeah, okay. I mean, you know, really?
The typical crazy bullshit coming out. I mean,
that's like QAnon
again,
stuff, you know? Like, really?
I don't want to not like people. I don't want to not like people, but he's just making it too. He's making it very hard for me to like him at this point.
Dude.
Him and his dad.
Say, you know, like, you learn more about somebody in a loss than you ever will with them winning.
Very
Your character
well said.
Comes out during a loss.
Very well said. Very well said.
Yeah, and as I'm sure his father was going ahead and agreeing with everything, and
I mean, his father is his worst enemy, really, if you think about it.
He really is. Tank's contract with Mayweather ending soon. Fight hype, Ben Thompson spoke to Mayweather following Davis's statement. Tank Davis apparently put out a statement saying as much, and then I guess he deleted it, saying this is going to be his last fight. That's why they want me to fight this clown, Raleigh, or whatever, because it'll be done soon. And Mayweather said, quote, nothing lasts forever. I will always love Tank. I like him, love him. I look at him like a son. He has to do what's best for him, said Mayweather. I feel like I've done a great job thus far building him and putting him in good fights, great fights. He's steady growing. He's steady learning. I'm proud of him. This has been a very up-and-down relationship here with Mayweather and Tank. I remember when he came to Cincinnati, I asked him about this, and he was really like, he always has like a rehearsed thing when it comes to these things, but there was definitely tension there. You could sense that there was definitely tension there between him and Tank. It's not good, man. They don't get along.
Well, I think because of Mayweather's personal beefs with other people, it keeps Tank from fighting guys that he should be fighting and probably guys that he really wants to fight.
Yeah.
How long do you think Tank's going to be able to tolerate, oh, well, you can't fight that guy because he's on the other side? Like, you don't think Tank wants to fight Lomachenko? You don't think Tank wants to fight Teofimo Lopez? You don't think Tank wants to fight Ryan Garcia? You don't think he wants to fight George Camposas? But he can't because of his...
There's nobody there. Right? There's
at
nobody
some point,
there.
Tank's got to say to himself, you know, what's going on here? And I think we talked about this. We said that he's they're probably going to leave on bad terms because who name one fighter that ever did anything with Mayweather Promotions, really?
Tank, you know, Tank is the biggest one.
And the thing is like I said, like Floyd's got beef. They don't like Eddie Hearn. They don't like Bob Arum, right? They don't like Oscar De La Hoya, right? How the fuck are you going to get any? You can't continue to only fight PBC fighters. There's like you said, there's no one over there. There's no one over there. So he's probably getting frustrated with this whole situation. Like why? Like, and then he likes Canelo Alvarez, and he wanted to wear Canelo Alvarez's gloves, and then Canelo Alvarez congratulated Isaac Cruz or whatever, just said, I wish him luck. That's all he said.
Yeah.
Oh, you can't wear his gloves, Tank. He's rooting for the other guy. Hey, all he said was, I wish him luck. You know, like, who wants to go through their career being told what they can do, what they can say,
right,
what gloves that would... Like they would, he was wearing Canelo's gloves. Canelo gave him the pair of gloves, you know?
Well, I heard it all started because he didn't want to leave Baltimore to train. He wanted to train in Baltimore. And Floyd says, no, you need to come down here and train. And if you don't do it Floyd's way, you're not doing it the right way, you know?
Yeah.
And that's where it is. That's where he gets in trouble. Listen, you're the promoter. All you have to do is promote. That's it.
Yeah.
And if you were, I mean, let's be honest, if you were like, especially with De La Hoya or Floyd, I'd be furious. There's no way I would sign on with any of those two, man. Because if you had a choice, there's no way you would sign on with either one of those two. They're more interested in promoting themselves than they are their fighters. That's just it. It really is.
I don't think Tank's re-signing with them. I would not be surprised, in my own humble opinion, if Tank went over to DAZN. I really wouldn't. Think about it.
I would.
Think about if you go to DAZN. Look who you could fight. You can fight Camposas. You could fight Devin Haney. You could fight all those guys over there, right? You could fight Ryan Garcia.
Right, and then DAZN opens up the Golden Boy, and you don't have to work with I wouldn't sign with Golden Boy. I would sign with DAZN, but you can even go a fight-by-fight basis. You know what I mean? So, but they've got nobody over there for him. They're going to keep feeding him stiffs. You know, Romero's not going to beat this guy. It's not even a good fight.
And he basically isn't even happy that he has to fight this guy. He thinks it's a joke that he's fighting this guy right now.
Right. Right. And Romero's okay, but he's not going to beat that guy.
No,
let's be honest, man.
No
way. Not a chance.
Tank's going to destroy him.
Yeah. Don King wins the first bid for Trevor Bryan and Daniel Dubois. Don King back in the fold, baby.
Back in the business. I told you Don King is the man.
Don King, son. He bid $3 million for that fight. $3 million. So, man. All right.
You know what? A little bit off topic. And tell me if this. Tell me if you agree with me here.
I don't.
I heard Bill Maher. He was on Ben Shapiro's show, and he's talking about like COVID stuff. And he's talking about how people, you know, the biggest issue is people not taking care of themselves. That's why they had such a hard time with COVID, whatever. And then he says, name me two 90-year-old people name me two overweight people who are 90 years old. And Don King is overweight. Bob Arum is overweight. And they're both 90 years old.
Right. There you go.
Do you agree with that?
I would definitely agree with that.
Well, those are the two people, right?
Yeah. What did Bill Maher say? He couldn't think about anybody?
Yeah, he's basically criticizing. I'm not saying he's wrong in his assessment. He's just saying, you know, the biggest issue with COVID is, like, people didn't take care of themselves. And he's like, well, we need to tell people to be healthier in life. He goes, name me two heavy, two obese people that live to 90.
There you go.
Oh, Bob Arum, if he's 5'6", he's heavy, right?
That's a short-sighted way to look at it, too. I mean, that's a really short-sighted way to look at it.
Kind of minimize,
Right, kind of minimize. Well, what about the marathon runner who died from it? Or what about this guy who was in perfect health and died from it?
Once again, this is the guy that abused drugs in his life.
Right.
That was a drinker. Same thing as Joe Rogan. And these guys are preaching health. I just don't want to hear it.
And you got healthy. Great. That's wonderful. You got healthy. Wonderful. But you don't have to, you know what I'm saying? You down everybody else now.
Yeah, but, I mean,
I don't know.
Who knows what they do in their personal lives? I'm sure they do stuff that isn't the greatest thing. Everybody has a vice.
Right.
Everyone. I mean, I bought a bag of sour cream and onion Lay's potato chips. Big fucking deal. What am I? You're going to put me on a fat farm now? Bill Maher, am I evil now because I ate a bag of freaking sour cream onion potato chips today?
The small bag or
No, medium-sized bag. 400 calories. Cut the shit. What do you think this is?
400 calories? That's not a medium-sized bag.
That's a medium-sized bag.
That's a small bag.
400
calories? Yeah.
No, they have a small one.
Are you talking about the big,
the
family size?
No, the 410-calorie ones are they're like this big.
Double
serving.
No, they're like that from the kinds you get from the gas station.
I'll show you the bag. Hold on.
Show me the bag. All right, we're gonna go to Corey for right now. 804.
Yeah.
You're live.
What's going on, everybody? How's everybody doing today, man?
What's the word, man? What's the word?
Goodness, man. How are y'all doing today, man? Y'all got me tripping over these chips, man.
He went to go wrangle the chips.
Y'all is so fucking funny, bro. I really just wish more people knew about y'all's show, man. Damn.
Well, we wish it
y'all
too, of course.
Tripping.
Yeah, that's a gas station. That's not a medium-sized bag.
Yeah.
That's a gas station bag. Yeah, 410. Son, that's the kind you get from, the gas station. That's not, a big – that's the kind you do
calories.
On road trips.
That's a baby bag.
There it is right there.
UDF or something like that, or Speedway.
That's right. I got it.
I'm
got it
talking about the kind you get from Publix.
Hey,
right? The big
today,
one, you know?
Yeah.
Corey, when was the last time you ate a bag of chips? Corey, when was the last time you ate a bag of chips? I know you're healthy.
Corey doesn't
eat
a bag of chips, man. You see him in a weight room and everything
Corey,
like that.
I
ain't eat a bag of
chips. Chipotle chips.
Yeah, the chips from Chipotle, the tortilla chips?
Yeah.
Tortilla.
That's the ones I get.
Yeah, those are good, too.
Robbie still eats animal crackers, man. Sure, it gives him animal crackers.
Oh, shit. Oh, man, y'all are so funny, man. I'm at work tripping right now off y'all. But I just wanted to call in real quick, man. Shout out to Usyk, man, for defending his country and trying to get this Joshua fight going on. I heard he's going back to camp. And I think that's good for him, and his career. And, Usyk is the number one heavyweight in the world. I've been saying this for 3 years now, and it's finally come true. You know, Usyk, I feel like if he can use this motivation in the best way or if it hurt him, man, this could really fuck up Usyk's mental, man. It's a lot of shit going on in the Ukraine that we don't know about on a serious note. And for him to be the heavyweight champion and to have all those belts, you know, it's a lot on his shoulders, man. He's got a whole country on his shoulders now, y'all. That's different than just, you know, a state or, you know, something like that. They're going through war right now, and I just truly feel like Usyk, you know, to be able to get it done, he's got to go to a place he's never went before, man. I really believe that, man. Don't know what he's witnessed out there. You don't know what he's been through out there. I mean, no other fighter can pretty much be in his shoes right now, unless their country is at war right now. You know, I mean, Usyk has a lot going on his plate right now, and I just hopefully he can dial all that in and use it to the better of him, man, you know. But the fights, man, the fights this weekend, there was some good fights this weekend, man. Man, there was some awesome fights this weekend. I just feel like all of those Ohio guys, man, they're looking good. Tiger, you know, all those. I was like, okay, okay. And, you know, shout out to Keyshawn Davis. Shout out to Virginia. That's where I'm from. You know, Keyshawn Davis, the Davis brothers, they're really good. You know, you got Jaleel Hackett. It's a bunch of kids out there. So from the 757 and the Alexandria area. But, yeah, man, it was some good fights this weekend, man. Well, did y'all enjoy the fights this weekend or what?
No, they were really good fights. They were great fights, man.
Yeah, man. B's over there with the fucking chips in his fucking mouth. Come on, man.
I mean, I already ate the chips, man.
Oh, look at that baby just standing there. I'm like, what are you doing?
I mean, how many times we got to say that the fights were good, man? You just said you said it six times. You said it six times. The fights were good this weekend. I already know that. I watched them all.
Oh, my God.
What is this?
Hey,
Groundhog Day, you repeat yourself 16 times in a row here.
I'm going to get back to work, y'all. But look, man. All
you need to get back to work.
You guys, man.
Do something productive.
All right, Corey.
Awesome show, man.
Something productive with yourself.
All right, 443. Is this Baltimore?
That's Baltimore, baby.
Yeah, Baltimore. It's Troy. It's Troy from Baltimore. How you doing?
Oh, Troy, I'm so happy to hear from you, man. I'm so happy
Listen,
to hear from
man,
you,
man. You know that you don't have anything to worry about because that bag of chips was mostly air, right?
That's right.
It was better than it was chips
60%
in the bag,
air.
Right?
Well, when I was eating it, it didn't feel like that. I was eating a lot.
No,
wait,
there's
down,
really
easy.
Air in there. You're just paying for air, basically, and then you might get 30% chips. That's it. That's how it works.
That's true.
But anyway, I've been saying since the beginning that the Haney versus Kambosos fight makes the most sense. I don't know why it's taking so long to get done, because if you look at it, it works out great for both sides. If Haney wins, he becomes the youngest, undisputed champion. If Kambosos wins, he becomes the first undisputed champion in Australia. So it's a win-win for everybody.
Wow.
Shouldn't be about money in this case.
Yeah.
There should be a legacy, and then you get the money after you win the fight. I mean, come on, man. This is why I just turn off from boxing so much and stick to certain fighters that I appreciate. But the entirety of the sport, I just can't dig it no more. And then with T.O. coming out saying that he was set up. Because, no, he wasn't set up. He was beat. You were beat. I mean, you told the world you were poisoned. You said that something else happened to you. I mean, you called Deontay Wilder a female dog, and I agree with you. But here you turn right around and act like a female dog. See what I'm saying?
Whoa.
It's terrible. Man. Yeah. I mean, because I don't know half these boxers' names no more because I simply just don't give a damn. I mean, you know, seriously, if y'all can't make the fights, I'm talking about boxing. Why should we as fans actually give a damn about the sport? I only care about certain fighters. You know,
yeah.
I appreciate certain sets, and then I move the hell on. That's it. But y'all have a good night, man. I know I sound like a bitter dude today, but it's just the fact, man. It's just the fact.
No,
I'm
it's
just
the
thinking
fact.
The same thing.
It's the fact.
Huh?
No, I said it's the facts. I agree with you. I said you're right.
Yeah.
All right, Troy.
All right,
man.
Have a good night.
We appreciate it, man. Thank you.
All right, guys.
Troy, very disgruntled tonight. Got good reason to be. Got good reason to be. But I don't know. I like the tank. I like the Devin Haney fight. I like the.
I love the Devin Haney fight.
I like Devin Haney versus Kambosos. I like Kambosos versus Lomachenko, Garcia. Any one of those fights, as long as he didn't come, as long as somebody took that fight. Now, it was going to be one of those things where if Haney turned down that fight, I mean, what could you possibly say? You know, it's like, then I don't want to hear from Devin Haney anymore.
I'm like him. I'm not here to worry about the fights that aren't happening. I'm looking at these fights that we do have, like the
right.
Fury White fight. I love it.
You think that fight comes off?
Yeah.
You think that fight comes off? All right, because, you know, I'm listening to that interview you sent me today about that lawyer, Dillian White's lawyer.
Yeah, yeah.
Dillian White's side is apparently harassing Frank Warren and Tyson Fury's side and everything like that about, you know, this and that and about things that they didn't get that they were promised and blah, blah, blah. Dillian has not promoted the fight at all. I mean, not on social media, nowhere. What? I don't understand. Like, is this possible that he just bails on this fight?
No, I mean, the lawyer did say that the fight is definitely going to happen. But the whole thing of them just trying to negotiate after the contract's already being signed, I think they're just trying to torment Frank Warren. I think they're having fun with Frank Warren. I think they're just trying to I think this is all mind games from their side. I think they're just trying to disrupt everything.
But for
everything.
What, though? Because, I mean, you know, I don't think Tyson Fury is really caring about this at all.
Yeah, I don't agree with what they're doing, but for some reason you're hearing Eddie Hearn saying, oh, well, they're terrorizing Team Fury. But aren't
they?
Yeah,
did you hear that? You're a moron.
I mean, I think this is all just for smoke and mirrors. It's all for show right now. Does he really care about the tickets? And let me ask you this. How many times has Eddie Hearn put a fighter's purse in escrow when they were fighting AJ? It's not very common. I'm not saying it's never done, but how common is that?
I don't know why it's not more common.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, right?
I'm not against it,
but when you think about it, you know, it's just never really done that.
Yeah.
You know? It's like when you go for a job, you go when any athlete signs a contract, they don't get the whole amount of the contract put in escrow. They get paid in increments, right?
Right.
No one. It's very rare that you put a money. Money gets put in escrow when you're dealing with someone who you don't trust and is not a reputable business. Then you have them put the money in escrow. When is Top Rank never paid a fighter? When has anyone ever sued Top Rank for non-payment? They sued him for other things.
I think about that Mayweather-Paul fight. You know, how he didn't get in. Mayweather's been accused of that on more than one occasion.
Sure, but that's Mayweather.
Right.
You know?
Right. Top Rank is a different animal, you know.
And he's suing him for the pay-per-view money that he was supposed to be getting. And technically, I mean, they can slow pay that out if they want. Don't want to be assholes about it. But, you know.
Yeah. Let's see what happens, man. Let's see what happens. All right, guys, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1. Find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. You can contact me on Twitter at ringside73, and we will see you guys next week.